another figure holding him hostage. Beyond that, an indifferent blur of passers-by. No one was paying the slightest attention to Vadim's ambush. He released the pressure on me. I caught my breath.
"You have not what?" Vadim said. "Go on, say it. I am all ears."
"You owe me a debt of gratitude that I didn't kill you, Vadim, and you know it too. But scum like you aren't worth the bother." He feigned a smile and reapplied the weight on my chest. I was beginning to have my doubts about Vadim. Now that I saw he had an accomplice, the man pinning down Quirrenbach, his story about a wider network of associates began to look a little more likely.
"Scum, is it? I see you were not above cleaning my watch, nasty little thief that you are."
He fiddled with the strap on my wrist, wriggling the watch off with a grin of triumph. Vadim held it up to one of his eyes, for all the world like a horologist studying some fabulous movement.
"No scratches, I hope."
"You're welcome to it. It wasn't really me." Vadim slipped the watch back over his hand, turning his wrist this way and that to inspect his reclaimed prize.
"Good. Anything else you would like to declare?"
"Something, yes." Because I had not tried to push him off me with my other arm, he had ignored it completely. I had not even removed my hand from the pocket in which I had slipped it as I fell back from the chair. Vadim might have contacts, but he was still no more of a professional than when we had tussled on the slow boat. Now I removed my arm. The movement was quick, fluid, like a striking hamadryad. It was nothing Vadim was prepared for. In my fist I held one of his black experientials. He played his part perfectly, his gaze shifting minutely as my arm came up, just enough to bring his nearest eye into my reach. The eye was opened in surprise, an easy target, almost as if Vadim was complicit in what I was about to do to him. I pushed the experiential into his eye. I remembered wondering if his one good eye had in fact been glass, but as the experiential's white haft sunk in, I saw that it had only seemed glassy. Vadim fell back off me and started screaming, blood jetting from his eye like a dying red sliver of sunset. He was flailing around insanely, not wanting to reach up and confront the foreign thing parked in his eye socket.
"Shit!"
the other man said, while I scrambled to my feet. Quirrenbach wrestled with him for an instant, and then he was free and running. Moaning, Vadim bent double over our table. The other man was holding him, whispering frantically in his ear. He appeared to be saying it was time the both of them left. I had a message of my own for him. "I know it hurts like hell, but there's something you need to know, Vadim. I could have driven that thing straight into your brain. It wouldn't have been any harder for me. You know what that means, don't you?" Eyeless now, his face a mask of blood, he still managed to turn towards me.
"What?"
"It means that's another one you owe me, Vadim." Then I carefully removed the watch from his wrist and replaced it on my own. Chapter 13. If there was any kind of law enforcement operating in New Vancouver's plumbing-filled interstices, it was subtle to the point of invisibility. Vadim and his accomplice stumbled away from the scene unquestioned. I lingered, almost honor-bound, to explain myself, but nothing happened. The table where Quirrenbach and I had been sipping coffee only minutes earlier was in a deplorable state now, but what was I supposed to do? Leave a tip for the cleaning servitor that would doubtless amble round shortly, so dim-witted that it would probably clean up the pools of blood